We're doing Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Shin Lamed. And the Magen Midovna had been discussing the idea of jealousy. The fact that much of hatred stems from jealousy. And one of the ways we can counter our own jealousy is by recognizing that different people were given different strengths because we have different responsibilities in this life. He had described how we can view nature and see within nature that day and night have different responsibilities, and so each one was given a different task and different strengths. And so we're up to page Shin Lamed, ועל דרך זה חילק הבורא יתברך ויגביל לכל אחד גבול ידו ומצב ידוע. The same concept applies to us. The Creator, blessed be He, limited each person. He gave us each our boundaries. He gave us each our situation. And guys, when we read this piece in the Magid Midovna, just that sentence alone has tremendous weight. Because on the one hand, it's painful. And on the other hand, it's liberating. And I'll tell you how so. You know, think of a person who underwent a lot of abuse. A child that grew up and his parent or parents were abusive. And then they hit the age of 20. They move out of the house. They set up their lives. And then they have to look back and see their childhood. And it's difficult. You know, there's a book, a true story, A Child Called It. Yeah, there was one kid that they put in the basement and they didn't treat that child as a human being. They would call him It. The thing, tremendous psychological abuse. And when we read this line in the Magen Midovna, it's a line which is painful because it means that to a certain degree we all had certain limitations in our upbringing, certain scenarios we faced off with, and that was part of God's plan. And on the other hand, it's liberating because that means we were also given certain strengths. And these circumstances have molded us to give us the tools and the capacity to deal with our specific responsibility in this world. ואין הבדל בין עליונים ובין בני אדם, רק כי המלאכים יודעים כל אחד בחינת עצמו ובחינת חברו. The only difference. The only difference between the angels and man in this regard is that the angels know what their task is in the world, and they know what their friend's task is. And an angel that looks at his friend realizes that what his friend has is irrelevant, and he was granted exactly what he needs. And if another angel has other strengths, well, that's fine, because he has other responsibilities. ואנחנו בני אדם, but us humans, and ביד בן אדם לדעת נפש עצמו ובחינתו. We have a hard time recognizing ourselves. We don't understand our task. We don't understand our own strengths. We don't understand our own circumstances. And we don't understand our responsibilities. We're groping in life. We're searching. We're looking to understand what's my tafkid. What am I supposed to accomplish? Umagam nefesh chavero v'chinato. And we certainly don't know what our neighbor's responsibility is. Lachen eino tzara al ma'alat chavero v'tovato. And that's why when we look at our friend, we're really stingy. We look at him and we're jealous. Why does he have that? Why does he have that? So you guys can imagine a scenario. Two students are sitting on the train on the way back from school. One of the students knows that he doesn't have the money to heat up his own house. And his wife and kids are covered with sweaters and coats, and they're all half sick. And he's trying to figure out what to do with life. And the guy sitting next to him goes, shucks, I don't know what to do. And he says, well, what's the problem? So Chaim is sitting there pondering what he's going to do. His wife and children are freezing at home. And next to him sits down Shmulek, and Shmulek says, life is so tough. Chaim says, what do you mean? Shmulek says, you know, my dad puts $20,000 in my account every month, and I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet till he puts in next month's 20 grand. You know, my bill in the makolet is running so high, and it's been ages since I was in the Bahamas, and it just doesn't make sense. I don't understand how people are supposed to manage on such an account. Two people sitting on the train, and you know, Chaim looks at Shmulek, and Shmulek looks at Chaim, and they're not talking the same language. So the natural reaction that Chaim's going to have is, what's wrong with you? Don't you realize how good you have it? So let me tell you a story. Our story goes back 30, 40 years ago. Yeshiva not far from you guys in Beit Vegan. A guy flies in to one of the top yeshivas of the time. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name of the yeshiva. And he comes from a very affluent family. And every Shabbos, he buys himself so many cakes and cookies at Angel's that all his friends, that they can't afford that. When they go home, their families can't afford so many cakes and cookies. You know, he comes into the dorm every Friday afternoon and he's got five bags of cakes and cookies, and he's nice, he's generous, he gives everyone. So his friends look at that. You have to understand, when I visited that yeshiva 15 years ago, guys used to charge you per tissue. If a guy opened a pack of tissues, so he had a sign, 5 agurot per tissue. I had a friend who was studying in that yeshiva, and he told me when I first came here, I was disgusted with the Israelis. How could they be charging for a tissue? And then I realized, he told me, they can't afford that tissue. They're charging you because they really can't afford to give other people tissues. They barely can afford the tissues for themselves. So you have there sitting on the bench, you have guys who come from families that can't really afford tissues. And then you have this guy waltz in, buying 5 bags worth of cake every Shabbos. So the mashkiach of the yeshiva, the one who was responsible for their spiritual growth, he called the guy over and he said to him, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a bus up to the Golan, to the northernmost point, and leave your wallet here in yeshiva. And then I want you to ask people for favors, for rides, to get back to Jerusalem. I want you to spend a week, you know, trying to get back to Jerusalem by asking people for favors, by hitching rides. This goes back to the days when it was still safe to take rides. This is before the Intifada. You're talking about 35 years ago. So the guy looks at the Mashgiach and says, why? And he says to him, look, we both know that you come from a family that's very affluent. You're going to have responsibilities for the people of Israel when you leave yeshiva. The only way you can really be a good leader and use your wealth wisely is if you actually experience what it's like to be without money, what it's like to need other people. Go all the way to the north and leave your wallet in yeshiva. And then you're going to have to ask people for favors. You won't have food, and you'll discover that the people of Israel are very kind. People will allow you to use their showers. People will allow you to use their bathrooms, and people will give you rides and help you on your way back down to Jerusalem. And as you do that, you'll suddenly see what it feels like to need other people. You've been in a position your whole life where everyone needed you and your family. You didn't need anyone else. Now, you have a different responsibility in life, so you have to know what other people feel like. So this story is true, by the way. The reason I'm quoting the story is because I always marveled at the brilliance of the Mashgiach to look at the guy and understand that he has a different responsibility. It's not only the wealth he lives with, it's also the responsibility he carries. So if he was granted that wealth, then he was also given responsibilities, what he's going to do with that wealth. And so that's the line the Magen Midovna says. When we look at someone else, we say, why does he have what I don't? Because we don't see that he has a different responsibility. We were given different tasks in the world.
Bad question.
Yes, Eliezer.
What happened with the kid hitching? Do you know the rest of the story?
I could tell you, but it defeats the point. You want, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I do want to know.
Yeah, why not?
The guy was chicken. He said, no thanks.
Oh, well, let's see. Class is over.
Yeah, but isn't that a pity? Think about it.
Yeah, it would have been a cool story. I used to hitch around the north a lot, like when we were in Ifron and the whole lot.
Hitching today is different.
You would still hitch. You would still hitch.
Yeah, you could. I'll just remind you that I have a cousin named Arik Frankenthal. You could look him up online and read about how he was murdered hitching rides. My first cousin.
Sorry to hear that.
Sorry to say that. Yeah. Coming back to the Sefer HaMidot. Velo Yeida, what happens when a person looks at someone else and is envious, a person doesn't realize, Ki atzlachat chavero imadav tagia, if he would have had his friend's success, haitam sabevet alav efsed v'chol ra. It would be a cause for detriment, and it would have a bad outcome. We are given different strengths because we have different tasks, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, I spent many years fighting sleep, thinking if I wanted to learn a lot, then I'd be able to learn a lot. If I wanted to overcome sleep, I'd be able to overcome sleep. So I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning learning, and at 10 o'clock I'd crash. You know, I kept fighting my nature. I said, I could do it. No, I couldn't. And I think this is a common malady where we imagine that we'd like to be able to do what others do. You read stories about the Gra, you read stories about great people, and you say, hey, I can do that. You have the people who enter the market, they're going to be the next Warren Buffett. Yeah, you always have people who think they're going to be able to do something, and then they discover that it's not true to say all you need is a dollar and a dream. You also need to have that responsibility and have those tools.